Gary congregation, I want to remind you that today some of our ladies will be out here in the foyer at a table with some needs that we have for Preacher's Camp coming up here in about a month. So please stop by that table and see what ways that you can help us in accomplishing that great work for the Lord. It is wonderful to be here on the Lord's Day. It is wonderful to be the children of God today. And to have done those things that God has commanded in order for us to be able to say just that. We have been talking about for several weeks now God's great plan of salvation. The plan that He put forth in His Word in order for us to be saved. Today we talk about baptism. I want to begin by asking a question. Do I have to believe in Jesus Christ to be saved? I think all of us would say yes to that question. But why? Why do I have to believe in Jesus Christ in order to be saved? Because the Bible says so, Nathan. The Bible says that we must believe to be saved. Haven't you read your Bible, right? Isn't that what you would say to me? John chapter 3 and verse 16, "For God so loved the world that He gave His only begotten Son, that whosoever believeth in Him should not perish, but have everlasting life." See, you've got to believe. Hebrews chapter 11 and verse 6, "For without faith it is impossible to please Him, for he that cometh to God must believe that He is, and that He is a rewarder of those that diligently seek Him." Romans chapter 1 and verse 16, "For I am not ashamed of the gospel of Jesus Christ, for it is the power of God for salvation to everyone who believes." So it's very easy to see that the Bible says that I must believe if I want to be saved. And we talked about that a few weeks ago. The Bible says you must believe to be saved. Most all Christ-believing religions teach that you must believe or that you must have faith in order to be saved. But those same religious groups, though, reason the same concerning repentance, and they reason the same concerning confession, and the commands and other commands regarding that we find in the Bible regarding what they do. And yet, the desire to follow the biblical commands like regarding faith seem to disappear when it comes to baptism. That the Bible says that, John 3:16 says that, but when you come to where the Bible says to be baptized, suddenly, that doesn't really mean what it says. Listen to the commands concerning baptism. And tell me if there's ambiguity in these. "Go make disciples of all nations, baptizing them in the name of the Father, Son, and the Holy Spirit, teaching them to observe all things that I have commanded you. Lo, I'm with you always, even to the end of the age." Matthew 28:19-20. Mark 16:16. "He who has believed and has been baptized shall be saved, but he who has disbelieved shall be condemned." Acts chapter 2 and verse 38, Peter said to them, "Repent and each of you be baptized in the name of Jesus Christ for the forgiveness of your sins, and you will receive the gift of the Holy Spirit." John chapter 3, in verses 5 and 7, Jesus says, "Truly, truly, I say to you, unless one is born of water and the Spirit, he cannot enter the kingdom of God. Do not be amazed that I said, you must be born again." And see, that "must" there is non-negotiable. You can't argue with it. You can't decide whether or not you want to accept it. It is the command of Jesus Christ, and you either accept it or you do not, but it does not change. It is the same "must" that we see a while ago when I quoted to you Hebrews chapter 11 and verse 6, "For without faith it is impossible to please Him, for he that cometh to God must," same thing, non-negotiable teaching, "believe that He is and that He is a rewarder of those that diligently seek Him." Paul refers to this same aspect of baptism that Jesus talks about in John chapter 3 and Titus chapter 3 in verse 5 when he calls it the washing of regeneration, or in other words, the washing of rebirth. Water in this text, being born of the water and the Spirit. Water is baptism. The Spirit is that word, that truth in which the Holy Spirit provided. It is the truth that is the power to save us, as Romans 1:16 said just a moment ago. 1 Peter chapter 1 and verse 23 tells us about this truth, tells us about this word that the Holy Spirit has given to us. He says, "For you have been born again, not of seed that is perishable, but imperishable. That is, through the living and enduring Word of God. Back to Acts chapter 2 and verse 38, when Peter said, "Repent and be baptized, every one of you, in the name of Jesus Christ for the remission of your sins, and you shall receive the gift of the Holy Spirit." Forgiveness of sins only comes first through baptism. That is where it takes place. And that word "for" there, I'm not going to go into a long exegesis on ace right there, but it is not because of, it is to bring about. It is to bring about in every other place in the Scriptures. And it is here as well. In Ephesians chapter 5, verse 26, Paul says that Christ sanctifies His church. How? By the washing of water with the Word. That is just another way of John chapter 3, the water in the Word, the water in the Spirit. The writer of Hebrews says that we have our conscience sprinkled clean by the blood of Christ while our bodies are washed with pure water. Hebrews 10:22. The only way that your conscience is made clean is through the forgiveness of Jesus Christ. For as long as the sin resides in your life, for as long as those things that are wrong reside in your life, your conscience cannot, must not, should not be clean or right. In Paul's conversion, Ananias told him, "Now why do you delay? Delay. Arise and be baptized. Wash away your sins, calling on His name." Acts chapter 22 in verse 13. And I remind you about the Apostle Paul right there. And he'd already been praying for 3 days and obviously still had the sins in his life that he needed forgiven. Acts chapter 10 and verse 48, Peter speaking to Cornelius, it says, "And he ordered them to be baptized in the name of Jesus Christ." Galatians chapter 3, verses 26 through 27, Paul writes, "For you are all sons of God through faith in Christ Jesus. For all of you who were baptized into Christ have clothed yourselves with Christ." Baptized into Christ. 1 Peter chapter 3 and verse 21. Corresponding to that, and that being the flood of Noah and the salvation of those 8 souls. Corresponding to that, baptism now saves you, not the removal of dirt from the flesh, but an appeal to God for a good conscience through the resurrection of Jesus Christ. Now, those are not all the texts regarding baptism in the New Testament, by no means. Those are some direct commands. How can we just say that those don't count? That those do not matter? That what they're saying is not really true? I submit that we cannot say such things. We cannot ignore the obvious essentiality of baptism for our salvation. But yet, Jesus our Lord described the kind of behavior that people have that would cause them to ignore such words. That would cause them to disregard all the verses that talk about baptism and what it does for us in our lives as God has set forth. We see that in Matthew chapter 13 and verse 15 as Jesus quotes Isaiah chapter 6 and verse 10. He says, "For the heart of this people has become dull. With their ears they scarcely hear, and they have closed their eyes. Otherwise they would see with their eyes, hear with their ears, and understand with their heart and return." That return there would be repentance. "And return, and I would heal them." People that refuse to see the need for baptism, for salvation, refuse to see, hear, and take into their heart all the verses that call for baptism in order to have one's sin taken away, and by that, find salvation. Because of their resistance, because their eyes are closed, their ears are closed, their hearts are shut off, because of that, Jesus cannot heal them. Folks, if we have our eyes and our ears and our hearts closed to what God is commanding, He cannot heal us, and He will not heal us. We must take the things that are in God's Word. I don't care what mom and daddy have done or grandma or last 10 generations have done. It's about God. We see this problem of closed eyes and ears and hearts throughout the Bible. It was obviously in Isaiah's day as Jesus quoted Isaiah. It was in Zechariah's day in Zechariah chapter 7 and verse 11. It says, "But they refused to pay attention and turned a stubborn shoulder and stopped their ears from hearing." It's not that they can hear, but they don't want to hear. They stop hearing. Jesus told the Jews in John chapter 8 and verse 43, "Why do you not understand what I am saying? It is because you cannot hear my word." And they weren't deaf, but they could not hear it because they didn't want to hear it. I didn't want to hear my mama on some of the things that she told me. Now, y'all can relate to this, can't you? I didn't hear that, Mom. Sorry, I missed that. Yeah, you heard it. It just kind of, right? You really didn't want to take it in. That was the problem with these people Jesus is talking to. Paul tells Timothy, "For the time will come when they will not endure sound doctrine, but wanting to have their ears tickled, they will accumulate for themselves teachers in accordance to their own desires, and will turn away their ears from the truth, and will turn aside to myths." Do you hear that? They will turn their ears away from what is true so that they can listen to what is not. So many people. I had a lady tell me one time, in no uncertain terms, I'm sure I've told you this before, she said, "Young man, I don't care what the Bible says, I'll never believe I have to be baptized." Her eyes are shut, her ears are shut, and her heart is closed to what God so plainly says. So many people will close their eyes, ears, and hearts to the truth of baptism and be lost. Even after giving much of their efforts to trying to live the Christian life as the Bible shows it, they will do so many things right. They will say, "Lord, Lord," so many times, as Jesus said in Matthew chapter 7, but they will reach the judgment day and Jesus will say, "I never knew you because you were never in my family. You were never one of God's children. You were never one of my brothers because you were not born again into that family." They will do all this in their life, yet they cannot be a child of God without being born into the family of God through baptism. They cannot be in Christ without being clothed in Him through baptism. They cannot be sinless without the forgiveness that only comes through baptism. And they cannot be saved because Peter says that baptism saves. How tragic. Having people try and serve God but fail to serve Him because of a refusal to see the simple truth of baptism that is so clearly set out in Scriptures. It's so simple. It's not like God's asking them to give up everything and give everything away and just be poor and destitute and go climb the tallest mountain, right? It's not like He's asking that. It reminds me so much, and I never can preach on baptism without referring back to Naaman and that servant that said, "You know, if He'd have asked you to do some great thing, wouldn't you have just done it? But He's just saying, go wash and be clean. Just go do it." It's so simple. It's so easy. And there is so much in it for him. But it is obstinance and stubbornness, closed eyes, ears, and hearts that keep so many from it. Baptism is the part of the plan of salvation where God asks you simply to do as He has commanded. Just do what I say. In this particular aspect, I know you believe, you confess Jesus Christ as God, you want to change your life. Now I want you to do this. Just do it. We see that repeatedly with God. He will come to people that believe, but then He'll ask them to do something. Will you act on the faith that you have and do what I command? You know, but we need to understand that while baptism is that part of the plan of salvation where God asks you to simply do what He has commanded, it is not about the water. I hear denominational people so often talk about, "Oh, y'all believe in that regenerating water, what, you know, make all." It has nothing to do with the water that is in this baptistry or any other baptistry anywhere. It has nothing to do with the water. It has nothing to do with the person baptizing the individual. Whether it's me or someone else, it doesn't matter about the person who is baptizing. It is all, at the end of the day, it is all about God. Colossians chapter 2 and verse 12, Paul tells the church at Colossae, "Having been buried with Him in baptism, in which you were also raised up with Him through faith," in what? "In the working of God who raised Him from the dead." It's not faith in the water. It's not faith in the preacher. It's not faith in some particular religious group. It is God and faith in Him and what He does there in baptism. When one obeys, when one does what God says to do, God rewards him for his faith and action. It is the working of God that makes baptism accomplish its purpose. That working of God takes place only because of a living faith that does what He has commanded. John chapter 1, in verses 12 through 13, says, "But as many as received Him, that being Jesus, to them He gave the right to become the children of God, even to those who believe in His name, who were born not of blood, nor of the will of the flesh, nor of the will of man, but of God." And note there that when they received Him or believed in Him, when they believed in Jesus Christ, they were not children of God, but they were given the right to become children of God. They were given the right to move forward, because you will never move forward to obey the commandments of God until you believe. And at that point, they were given the right to become, to take that next step, to go forward, to become what God. And notice as well that He says that it is not of blood. It's not where you were born. It's not of the will of the flesh. You can't be so strong as to make it happen. But it is as a result of God that you become that child of God. Because baptism must take place with faith, or as Jesus stated, the knowledge of the truth that the Spirit has given, only those capable of such can be baptized. You know, the baptism of infants cannot be the baptism of the New Testament. A baby cannot have faith and therefore cannot access the working of God in baptism. Infants do not need to be saved because they are, quite simply put, they are safe. They have not sinned. They have no reason to need to be saved. They have not been separated by sin from God. They do not inherit the sin of anyone. They do not inherit the sin of their parents or anyone who lived previous to them. Ezekiel chapter 18 and verse 20, Ezekiel writes, "The person who sins will die. The son will not bear the punishment of the father for the father's iniquity, nor will the father bear the punishment for the son's iniquity. The righteousness of the righteous will be upon himself, and the wickedness of the wicked will be upon himself." I needed to be baptized to have my sins washed away because of the sins that Nathan committed. Not my mama, not my daddy, not Adam, but for what I had done. And if you are a child of God this morning, you were baptized into Christ, having your sins washed away in baptism because of the sins that you committed and not anyone else. Only when a person can become aware of right and wrong will they be in need of the salvation of Jesus Christ. And at that time, they will have to obey God's great plan of salvation. They will have to do that, those things that we have been discussing for the past several weeks. They will have to believe in Jesus Christ, a belief that is born out of the truth of God's Word. They will have to repent of sinful behavior, repent of their sinful life, so that they may turn and move toward God. They will have to confess Jesus Christ as the Son of God. And they will have to be baptized to be born into the family of God by the forgiveness of their sins, that those same sins that have separated them from God for far too long. One must also remember that according to Matthew 28, verse 19, we are to be baptized in the name of the Father and of the Son and of the Holy Spirit. Now, we say that phraseology really fast. We all know that one, in the name of the Father, Son, and the Holy Spirit. And we can just say that and we say that, but do we know what that means? Do we understand those words? It's not just something that we wrote, say, in the baptistry because we're supposed to wrote, say that in the baptistry. That is not as much about what we say as about what we do. In the name of Jesus Christ, name of the Father, Son, and the Holy Spirit, is by their authority, by what they have said. It is being born of the water and the Spirit by their authority, by what they have said must be done. And that includes the wise. What I'm thinking, what I believe comes into this. When I am immersed in the watery grave baptism, what I am believing in my mind at that moment bears a great deal exactly on whether that is the New Testament baptism or I'm just getting wet. True baptism must be according to the Bible. And it is not simply an outward expression of an inward change. There can be no real inward change until God is obeyed by the action of baptism. Because let me tell you what, if you haven't done that, you haven't decided to obey God. Nothing's changed. You're still standing in defiance to Him. There's no inward change without baptism. simply to be put, it is not simply to be put into some religious organization. Yes, in baptism, Christ adds you to His church because He has forgiven your sins, and that's the only way to get into His church, but it's not simply to jump into some religious organizations. It is to be able to come into the family of God, come into the body of Christ, sinless. It is not for any person to be saved before baptism. It is not possible, rather, for any person to be saved before baptism because one cannot be saved for as long as they have sin in their lives. Because sin is what separates you from God. Separate, death is just another word for separate. If you want to be dead spiritually, you're separated from God. And if you have sin in your life, you're separated from God. And as long as you have sin in your life, you are not in His family. And so until you are those sins washed away initially in the watery grave of baptism, you cannot be redeemed to a just God. Sin separates us. Until it is gone, we remain separated. Many in the religious world say that you just need to accept Jesus into your heart or say some form of sinner's prayer in which to be saved. Yet, those things are not found on any page in the Scripture. However, baptism for salvation is found over and over and over and over. Will we open our eyes? Open our ears, open our hearts, so that we might be healed. You know, according to the Scripture, no one can be saved in Jesus Christ until they have been buried with Him and raised from the watery grave baptism, just as He was raised from the dead. It is amazing how God has used water over and over in His dealings with people throughout the Bible. The global flood of Noah. God used water to wash away the exceeding sinfulness of mankind and begin again with 8 souls. Water was the dividing line between the filth of the old world and the cleansing of the new. We go forward to the Red Sea, and God used water in 1 Corinthians chapter 10, even calls this event a baptism. He used water that day to deliver the Israelites from the slavery of Egyptians, from Egyptian slavery to the freedom that God would give to them. He used that water as they passed through, and then the Egyptian army was destroyed behind them. So water that day was the dividing line between slavery and freedom. Naaman the leper that I mentioned a few moments ago, God used the water of the River Jordan and dipping in it to cleanse his leprosy. And there was nothing special about the Jordan River. It was just an old muddy river. Had nothing to do with the water. You go over there to Jordan with leprosy today and dip 7 times, you'll probably still come up with leprosy. Nothing to do with the water, it had to do with God and the power that He exerted upon obedience that day. But water in that particular case was the dividing line between sickness and healing. The blind man that Jesus Christ healed when He made the little bit of mud and He put it on his eyes and said, "Now you go wash in the pool of Siloam." And when he washed, his eyes were open and he could see. That day, water was the dividing line between blindness and sight from Jesus Christ. In each of these situations, water was used by God along with obedience to bless men in some way. And baptism is the same. If Noah had not built the ark according to God's command, then the waters could not have carried him over the destruction. And what befell all the rest of mankind would have befallen on his family and himself. But yet it did not. They were saved by the flood according to 1 Peter chapter 3. If the Israelites had refused to enter the divided Red Sea, they would have been returned to slavery in Egypt because they did not go where God said go. If Naaman had not dipped in the Jordan River 7 times, he would have continued to have leprosy. If the blind man would not have washed in the pool of Siloam, he would have remained blind. And today, if you have not been baptized in the name of the Father and the Son and the Holy Spirit for the remission of your sins, you're on a path to be destroyed with all of humanity that do not obey God, just as the men in the flood did. Even after they heard the righteous preaching of Noah, they chose to remain. You are still enslaved to sin, according to Romans 6. You have not passed through to the freedom in Jesus Christ. You are still suffering the terminal sickness of sin because you have not let Jesus Christ heal you. You are still blind and failing to see the Christ that can allow you to see all the wonders of faith. You are still lost in your sin. Do not close your eyes to the truth. Do not close your ears. Do not close your heart. Because if you do, Jesus cannot heal you. And in the judgment day, it will not be His fault. It will be yours. And it doesn't have to be that way. So simple. Why not just wash and be clean? Open your eyes, open your ears, and open your heart to the commands of God that are found in His Word. At the end of any discussion, we must admit and acknowledge that baptism is commanded by God. There's no way around that. You can't argue that. I want to ask you a question. When was any of God's commands ever in the Bible optional? Last time I checked, there wasn't one. When God speaks, He expects it to be done. And He doesn't ask you and me whether we'd like to do it or not. Do this, and I will give you that. Be baptized, and I will wash away your sins. That's what God has promised. It's His working. And it's what He wants to do for each and every one of us. So simple. Have you obeyed it? This morning, if you're not a child of God, but you understand your need to be, maybe it is through study that you've come to this understanding and you know you need to obey the gospel. Maybe you know that, maybe you want to follow God, but you've really tried to do it another way. Maybe you've tried to say to yourself, I don't have to be baptized according to the New Testament. Open your eyes, your ears, and your heart that Jesus might save you, that He might heal you, for you need healing. And you can find that healing this morning by believing in Jesus Christ, repenting of your sins, confessing Him as the Son of God, and being buried in baptism as Jesus Christ is buried, dying to the old self of sin, raising up as Jesus Christ raised up from the dead to walk a new life, as Romans 6 says, a new life with Christ. We want to help you with that this morning if that's what you need. Maybe you're a child of God this morning and you've strayed away from that commitment that you made that day that you were baptized, that repentance that you set forth, that you were going to live for Christ, that you were going to move toward God, you were going to turn away from sin and go toward God. Maybe you've let your life turn back in a way it shouldn't go. Return once again to God. Confess your sins. Know that He is faithful and just to forgive you. We can assist you in any way spiritually this morning. We want to do so if you'll only let us, as together we stand and as we sing.